Australia on the Triple M network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
G'day, Dave.
Yeah, how you going, Luke?
Very good, Dave. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine, mate. I'm fine. I twisted an S cam in my truck, so I'm spending the night off, and I got bored and listened to the radio while I'm doing mechanics work. Am I allowed to say shit on the radio, or?
Well, you just have.
Okay, well, yeah, look, I've had the shits over this whole Indigenous thing about how they're stopping white blokes, you know, making them feel bad. We're not even allowed to say black anymore. Now, you imagine if you go to Italy and they stopped coloured people before they went into the Sistine Chapel.
Mm.
Things like that, you know, like some of the you get what I mean?
I can make it even simpler, Dave. Imagine if there was a social experiment that singled out people of dark coloured skin, whether they be Indian, whether they be Asian, whether they be Aboriginal, and made them wait outside whilst people of non-colour, like they did in South Africa, while they gave preference to white people. Now, I guess what this young girl is saying is that's how things used to be. No one is denying that, but we've got to move forward. This is just putting a knife into an old wound and reopening it for no reason. We are aware of what happened all those years ago. We know it was wrong. Kevin Rudd said sorry. This is just attention-seeking, I believe.
I do something wrong daily, and I apologise to my wife for it, and we move on from it. So it gives you the shit, you know. It's just, it's reverse apartheid.
Exactly.
Beyond words. Look, now I've wound myself up that much, I'm going to go and skim my knuckles under my truck, so...
It is. It's reverse racism.
Bring through and say how pathetic it is.
It's reverse racism.
Stupid it's getting.
It is reverse racism.
It is. It is absolutely crap. But just on a second note, I do have to say on behalf of every other truck driver in the nation, I heard the other night while I was coming home and I didn't have time to ring you to say my deepest regrets that finding out that even though I'm married with three kids, finding out that Jess has a man, that's destroyed so many.
I know. I didn't.
So, like, it is just wrecked.
Yep.
A million truck drivers nationwide.
I know. I, for the sake of the program, didn't want her to announce it because.
No, I would have stopped that. I would have blanked that out, just had a big beep button.
Yeah, but having said that, and can I say this? Knowing Jess, it won't last long. Okay?
Oh, we even got Jess on the radio for that one. Yeah. Oh, she doesn't normally butt into these things.
Knowing Jess's history, this bloke will come to his senses fairly soon.
I'll tell you what that looks.
And it won't last long.
Look, put a call out there to every truck driver Australia-wide and just get them all to ring through and say how she has single-handedly dashed, shattered, destroyed every dream, anticipation, fantasy. Fantasy sounds a bit dirty.
It does.
Whatever, you know, like, she's crippled the Australian transport industry by the whole time.
Oh, no. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
Anyway, look, I'm sitting under my truck at the moment, and normally I work at nights, and of course, the kids and my wife's in bed, so I'm down in the shed trying to twist over an S cam at the moment.
All right.
Everyone else will ring back and say I'm too hard on gear for doing it. But yeah, I had to ring through and crack the shits and get all that out of my system. But then I thought I'd throw something funny in there for you.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, a little bit. I actually do. Now I'm going to go and get frustrated with machinery and I'll be wild in another half an hour or so, and I should be fierce and angry again.
Okay, all right.
I've got that off my system.
That's the way. Good on you, Dave.
Too easy, Luke. You have a good night, mate.
See you, my brother.
See you, mate, boy.
He's a funny guy. Jess, you have single-handedly crippled the Australian trucking industry. Do you like that?
That's not good, is it, Lukey?
But I'm right, aren't I? It It won't last long.
Excuse me. Are you saying I am not lovable?
Oh, to know you is to love you. 1-3-3-5-3.
I'm leaving, Luke Boner.
No, you're not. You've got nowhere to go. That other joint wouldn't have you back.
You know what? I'm going to put drunk people through to you tonight. Is that what you want?
Oh, what? When did you stop?
Just take the ad break, would you?
Okay. Let's have a chat. G'day, Don.
John.
Oh, it's John.
John, how you going?
I'm very good, John. She's written Don. What do I do, mate? Well, I mean, really, it's so hard to get good help.
I'm sorry. Right. It's me ears.
It's all right, Jess.
John. Whereabouts are you?
In Kurrawaffa, mate.
Where's that?
You ever heard of Cowra?
I know Cowra very well.
Cowra, yeah. 25 kilometres from Cowra.
Oh, you know what she's written? She's written Kura. She's written Corrie Whopper. She didn't hear you. Yeah, Kurrawaffa is near Cowra. Cowra, folks, is central west New South Wales. It's between Young and Bathurst, sort of. More closer to Young.
Yep.
And I know exactly where Kurrawaffa is, yep.
Can you leave me alone?
Well, can you just get it right the first
time? Well, I'm really busy, okay?
Sorry, John.
Potatoes, patatas.
Sorry, John. You see what I have to put up with here?
Very good, very good.
Okay, Kurrawaffa, I know exactly where it is. Go ahead.
About a month or so ago, I listened to you and you had somebody heard about an interlock system on their car.
Yes, a breathalyzer system, yes.
Yeah, so the information she gave out, I think at the time, was not 100% spot on. So I've actually got one on my car, so I thought I'd had a chance, so I'd give you a ring. And
let's have a talk about it. John, why do you have one? Why do you have one?
Oh, mate, well, where I live, I'm only, a certain distance away from the local pub, but one night I did the wrong thing and drove my car home, and I got caught by the police. So
you must have been high range.
Just over high range, yeah, and I got done, so I had to have a system put in my car for 2 years, yeah.
Okay, and have you ever driven over the limit again?
I can't. The system doesn't allow you to.
You can't cheat it at all?
No, that's what she was indicating, that somebody was cheating on their behalf or whatever. But
all right, how does it work? Tell us.
Well, for me to get my car started, I've got to put the ignition key in the ignition, hit a button on the little interlock system, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It warms up, and then you blow in it, and then you sort of do 10 seconds of blowing in it, and then it takes a picture of your face.
It takes a picture of your face?
So there's a camera in the car that takes a picture of your face.
Really? Okay.
And then it'll give you a reading, and if you're under 0.002, your car will start. Like, if it's over that, it won't start.
It just won't start.
Yeah, so 0.002 or whatever it is,
0.05 is over the limit. You've got to be under 0.05. If you read...
No, it's got to be under 0.002, whatever. So it's basically more than one midi, you'd be over.
Yes, I get you.
So just a little tolerance in case you've eaten something or drunk something that you didn't know it had alcohol in it.
Like even maybe cough medicine or something.
Yep. So it's got a little bit of tolerance in it, but otherwise it won't start. And then if that happens, you've got to wait 15 minutes and do it again. And if you're still over, you're basically going to lock your car.
Yeah.
And then it's got to get, you can't even drive the thing.
Yeah.
And it freezes it, and it's got to go back to the system, the place where it gets serviced. And you've got to get it towed away back to there. So I think she was saying that somebody else was doing it on their behalf or whatever.
Yeah, but they can't if it takes a photo.
No, they can't. They might get away with it, but say every time you get your car serviced, it's done every month or 2 months.
Yes.
Like for 24 months, I've got to get it done every 2 months.
Yes.
And all that information is downloaded back to the RTA or the New South Wales Services, wherever it's called now. And if my picture isn't there and it's somebody else's picture, you're going to be in big shit.
Yeah. Tell me, this is interesting. I'd like to know if it does this. I'd like to know if it records failed attempts.
For sure, yeah.
It does.
Everything's recorded, yeah.
If you've tried to start the car and you're over the limit, it records that.
Oh, yeah, and then your 2 years might become more.
Yeah.
So it'll like, well, your system is basically, I reckon it's fail-proof because you can't get away from it.
Is it an intrusive thing to look at? And the reason I ask, John, is that I wonder if this sort of gadget will become standard on all cars.
Well, it would, but, like, it's costing me, like, I'm the dickhead that did the thing wrong in the first place, but over the next, I'm halfway through it, so it's costing me about probably $2,500 that I've got to pay. Like, it's so much per month I'm paying the rental on this thing on my car.
Yeah.
Like, the fine, it's not a fine from the government or whatever, but it's me to have that facility on my car.
Yeah.
So I think it's $300 $340 every 2 months I pay.
And that's for the service.
That's the penalty that I'm paying, but that's what it costs. And I'm actually leasing that interlock system on my car.
Gotcha. Look, thank you so much for explaining that. So it actually takes a photo of the person sitting in the driver's seat that has just attempted to start the car. It takes their photo. So you can't have someone else there.
Well, you might get away with it for a month or month until the gets downloaded, because everything gets, it's like a computer chip in the car that goes back to the RTA once it's downloaded every month or 2 months, whatever your program is, but mine's every 2 months.
Yeah. Thank you for that, John. Really appreciate it. And thanks for calling us from Coorawatha. Have a look, folks. It's spelt with a K.
K, that's it.
K-double-O, and hang on, K-double-O-R-A-A-T-H-A?
You missed a W.
Oh, I missed a W somewhere. W-A-T-H-A.
That's it.
Yeah. You are near a little tinier town, a smaller town called Bribery. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've been to Bribery, yeah.
Well, guess who was born and bred in Bribery? The musician Jade Hurley.
Yeah. I believe that, yep.
Anyway, good on you, John.
No worries, look.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. 133353. So it takes your photo, eh? G'day, Tom.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Hey, good.
I've just been driving around doing some late night moving from one house to another, listening to you and going on. But I called on earlier about when you were talking about the Indigenous dance and the meeting in Singapore with Donald Trump and Kim Jong Un.
Can you just turn your blinker off?
Oh. Yeah, no, that's my bad.
There you go. Okay, we can talk about both things. First of all, Trump. Is he a lunatic or is he a genius in disguise?
I think he's probably a bit of both. To play the card that he has made him seem a bit of a lunatic, but he's playing it right because, as he said before, he's not a politician, he's a businessman, and a businessman will play those cards as these fit to get to the best end goal that he can see possible. And to get one of the things that the world's been asking for like the last 70 years has, you know, been that main goal that he's finally gotten.
The world has been asking for this, and we were teetering on nuclear disaster. We have been before. It was, I don't know if it was up there with the Cuban Missile Crisis of the 50s with Fidel Castro and Kennedy, but they were pointing rockets at each other, and one moment they're slinging insults backwards and forwards, and we're thinking, what the hell is going to happen? Next thing you know, it's all smiles and handshakes in Singapore.
Yeah, no. It was...
And chili mud crab.
Yeah, no, it was a bit of a flip around. But it just actually worries me, the sort of social response from the world when it comes to it. As an example, I remember hearing on the radio earlier today, going in between jobs, about some people going on about the human rights. That wasn't discussed between...
That was me. I said that. I said I would have liked to have heard what discussion took place over human rights. I actually said that yesterday morning.
Oh, really? Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't there at the time of hearing it out. But, don't get me wrong. I'm also a person that believes that the human rights should be talked about, like, as one of the first immediate things to be spoken of. But I'm also a little concerned how people are pushing for it straight away, only in the sense that this country has been closed off in a very, very tight regime for the last 70 years, and they've had certain things happen and only have known those certain things. So for them to come out and sort of, in their vision, in the way they're seeing things, reach a hand out to the world, and then to only see it get bitten with, oh, why haven't you done this the way that we have? Why haven't you done that the way we have? and that would probably make them recoil, if you get what I mean, and that may stress the bonds that have been created thus far with the meeting in Singapore.
Well, look, we don't know what goes on in North Korea. Just remember, the Korean War ended July 1953, and there's been a Cold War ever since then. And we're told that this bloke, Kim Jong-un, killed his half-brother. Remember that? In full sight at the airport. Anyone that gets in his way, a bit like Idi Amin, bang, if you don't see eye to eye. But how much of that do we know is true? How much of it is fiction? You know, we can only speculate. You can't even get North Korea on Google Maps. If you look up North Korea on Google Maps, it comes up a blank.
Oh, really? I haven't even tried that. I might have to tell my little brother next time I see him and me will have a look for it, see if we can find it. But
see if you can. But look, we are today ahead of where we were this time last week, aren't we?
Oh, exactly. Well beyond.
So we can look forward to North Korea being unarmed, nuclearly speaking, and the North Koreans can maybe look forward to their first McDonald's franchise.
Oh, yeah, McDonald's, KFC, Domino's, it's just going to be lining up more and more and more.
You watch.
Exactly right.
You watch.
Also, just before I have to go, because I do have to start driving back to my partner. Unfortunately, you can't leave a pregnant woman alone for too long.
No, you can't.
But with the Indigenous dance and whatever else, I think one of your callers earlier, Dave, had mentioned it as well. I also believe that it may be coming to a sort of rewritten apartheid in some sense around the world, that this far-left social justice movement is doing a whole tit-for-tat kind of thing where they feel that because certain people have been oppressed for X amount of years that we should feel the same. But unfortunately, it annoys me in a sense because I have a very heavy Celtic background, and I've had many a people try to argue that, you know, as an example, South Africans being enslaved for hundreds of years, but for some reason they don't wish to talk about, you know, the enslavement of the Irish as an example for over 1,000 years by the English and the British Isles. And it kind of is just like a one-way street with them. You can't give them logic. You can only just take what they say, and then, you know, if you say anything else, you get shot in the foot, pretty much.
Yeah, a reverse apartheid. Look, I've got aunts who and uncles. I've got an uncle who went on the Freedom Bus with Charlie Perkins. I've got direct relatives who were treated like shit all their lives, refused jobs because of the colour of their skin, not allowed to vote, not on the referendum till 1967. And that all happened, and that should never have been forgotten. But we do have to move on, and I think what I'm asking, what is the motivation behind this 20-year-old university student from the University of Melbourne singling out members of an audience by colour? I mean, imagine if this was reversed. Imagine if it was whites in first and Aboriginals told to stay outside and then sign a plaque of some kind.
Extreme civil unrest would be the minimum of what that would be, if anything.
Mm.
It's quite concerning because, like, I hear all of your callers are in their 40s, 50s, late 30s, and stuff like that. I'm only 27 myself, but hearing how they're reacting to it, I'm starting to see we're going from this thought process where we used to focus on the positives of, like, as you've said before, Kevin Rudd and the apology, all the money being poured into the Aboriginal communities to hopefully help the children and the drug epidemic and everything that's going on.
And
that's,
look, this young 20-year-old student is of Maori and European heritage, apparently. And she actually said in The Australian that some audience members were so angered by what they were being put through, they walked out. Well, hello.
Yes, exactly right. Because it's kind of, in a sense, spitting on the work that everyone in the past has done, because they've worked so hard to achieve the stages we have to get better equality and better situations for those people who have been proven, who have been treated wrongly. But to do moves like separate the audience as she has is pretty much spitting on their work and saying, you know, you haven't, you know, you've done dilly squat. But unfortunately, but the truth and the fact of the logic is, people have. There have been great strides in equality that have been going, and are still going to this day. There are still things that are adding on, that will continue to add on, to hopefully make everything as equal as what we all wish it to be.
And who is this girl, Isabella Mason, 20 years of age, Melbourne University, who is she to just assume that white Australia or non-Aboriginal Australia doesn't know what happened and doesn't feel dreadful and understands and sympathises with the cause without having to go through such exclusion, without having to be put through a process of exclusion in such a humiliating way? I mean, singling out white audience members, haranguing them and isolating them is merely going to turn people off. It's not going to get people on side. Who is this girl to suggest that white Australia needs to go through a process of accepting and transitioning and cleansing similar to a rite of passage? I mean, who is she to assume that people like Jess and Jess's parents don't understand what happened all those years ago and sympathise with it? But why make people like Jess and her family feel guilty about something that had absolutely nothing to do with?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. But I also sort of feel that it's a part and part to blame. So most definitely, because of her own actions, this young girl does deserve to take in what basically reap what you sow. But I also partly feel it's also part of the education system as well, because obviously being so young, she will not know the entire history. She wouldn't have learned it all in one big thing. So she would have had to learn it from her professors and her teachers, and they put their own political views in what they teach and then pass it on to the next generation to try and push their own agenda, if that makes sense. And to me, that is even more of a shame, because obviously, as I said, I've got a pregnant partner. I feel sort of scared that when my child is born into this world and then goes through the education system that we all have to, is my child going to face the same problem, which is they're going to be teachers who, from a very young age, will be forcing their own political views to say that white people are this and, you know, Australians are racist because of this and all that kind of thing, when it's absolutely not true, when we've proven over the years of great strides and how great we can be as a country. Instead, we're being told and belittled for things that have happened well beyond our control.
Yeah, but we shouldn't forget what happened, but we haven't and we won't. And if history is taught correctly in schools, we won't. But this is just reverse racism. It's reverse apartheid. And it worries me, because I think it is divisive, and I think it's ruining the cause and setting it backwards instead of moving forward. Thanks for your call, Tom. Good luck with the move.
No worries. Thanks, matey.
This is The Night Shift on Triple M. G'day, Peter.
Hey, Luke. How you going, mate?
Very well. Peter, you all right?
Yeah, mate. No problem. Just a bit of a flu, that's all.
That's no good.
Yeah.
You need to take one of Jess's 23 pills that she takes every night.
Good on you. You wanted to know about office romances.
Yeah, a lot of places ban them, and I don't know how you get away with banning an office romance. This all comes down to the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, banning sexual office relationships in Canberra because of the Barnaby Joyce Vicky Campion drama.
Yeah, well, 25 years ago, I went and applied for a driving job as an interstate long-haul driver.
Yep.
And went in for the interview, done the interview, walked out, and this gorgeous blonde was sitting at the desk.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just started talking, and one bloke turned around and said, "Oi, hands off, that's the boss's daughter. Don't go anywhere near her,
mm-hmm.
or you'll lose your family jewels."
Mm-hmm.
And me being me, young, dumb, and a bit stupid.
And horny.
Yeah, that's it.
Sorry.
I turned around and said, "I'm going to take this challenge."
You saw it as her being the boss's daughter was the red flag.
Yeah. And it was sort of hands off. You don't go near his property. Hands off. You know, don't even go there.
Yep, go on.
Anyway, about a month later, I went into the boss, gave him my paperwork and everything. And I turned around and I said, oh, how about we go out for tea one night? And she turned around and she goes, you know I'm out of bounds. I said, I'm only asking you out for tea. And we went out for tea, and then a couple of months later, you know, it went from tea to drinks to going out to pubs and clubs, party and everything else. And 4 years later, I asked her to marry me, and she goes, have you asked Kate? I said, no.
Yeah, right.
And I said, I'm not that stupid. And she goes, well, Mum knows about us. And I've gone, how? She goes, I don't hide nothing from my mother, but my father's a different story.
Yes.
So we had lunch around at her father and mother's place.
Mm-hmm. Was it just you, or was it a group of people?
No, just me, the daughter, the mother and the father.
Dad must have suspected something if he hears that Pete's coming over for lunch.
Well, I thought he wanted to talk about the truck.
Oh, right. So it was the dad that invited you?
Yeah, because he had his own trucking business.
Gotcha.
Anyway, got around there and had lunch, and the mother said, I want to talk to you. I'm going, yeah, okay. So she took me in the lounge room, and we sat down, and she goes, look, I know you and my daughter's having an affair. I think you better tell the old man.
Well, it's not an affair. You were only seeing each other. In fact, you fell in love with her. You were about to marry her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. That's not an affair. That's a relationship.
No, but he knows, according to her, and in those days, it was like an affair. It's not. Mm.
If Dad didn't know, and you knew Dad would disapprove, it's an affair. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I had the balls and turned around and said, I've been dating your daughter for the last 5 years.
5 years?
And I want to marry her.
Did you keep it a secret for 5 years?
Yep.
Holy dooly.
When he wasn't looking, we'd sneak in a kiss or a hold of hand or whatever.
5 years.
And he turned around and he sort of seen red. He didn't speak to me for a week.
Oh, he got the shits, did he?
Big time. And he called me in the office. So I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to get fired. And he turned around and he goes, I've spoken to my daughter. I've been told you've treated her right. You keep treating her right, you've got my blessing.
Oh.
So we got married, and we've been married now for 28 years. We've got 3 kids, and I'm actually the CEO of his company now.
Oh, that is the best story I've ever heard. That is
We couldn't be happier.
That is one hell of a story. That's beautiful.
And now,
and do you call him Dad?
Yep, and I call her Mum, and we've got three kids and 2 grandkids, one on the way, and yeah, everything's going real well and couldn't ask for a better outcome.
Jess, how good is that story?
That's a good story.
That's a bloody good yarn. That's a and are you based in, whereabouts are you based, Peter?
Wangaratta.
And you're the CEO of the truck company now?
Yep.
You did all right. You got the daughter and the company.
Yeah, I got both, and he's retired, and I only go to him if I really need it. But apart from that, I'm in charge of everything, plus 42 drivers.
Would you like to mention the truck company?
Cannys.
Caddies?
Cannys. C-A-N-N-Y-S.
C-A-N-N-Y-S. Cannys. Cannys Trucks. How many trucks you got?
18.
18 trucks. And where do you drive? All over the place?
Just Wangaratta, Melbourne.
Wangaratta to Melbourne. That's what you specialise in?
Yeah, that's all we do.
Cannys Transport, is it?
Yeah.
How many drivers?
We've got 13 drivers and 16 locals.
Does it make you really proud, and maybe obviously you feel very responsible, that you're responsible for all those families and their income?
Well, it's sort of like when he told me he was retiring and I'm taking over, all I see was, how the hell am I going to do this and make a name? And it's taken me 3.5 years, and I've got the respect of the drivers, the families, and they know if they've got a problem, they just have to come and talk to me.
You are a star. Peter, you've seriously made my day. Thank you so much.
No, I thought you wanted to know about office romance, and It's not all doom and gloom.
It's not all doom and gloom unless you're in Canberra. Canny's Transport, folks, in Wangaratta, Melbourne. You want to go anywhere from between Wangaratta and Melbourne, Canny's is your mob. Canny's Transport, C-A-N-N-Y-S. Peter, thank you so much.
No, as you have a good night.
I'm going to now.
See you, mate.
See you later. How good was that? The people you meet here on the night shift. Thanks. That's Stevie Nicks, Edge of 17. It is from an album called Belladonna, released in 1981 from memory. You want to look it up?
Do you want a medal?
Do you want to look it up?
I already did. We know that you're right. Thank Next. You. Golly. Look, I was Googling you on the weekend.
What? What? I thought I felt a tickle.
What?
What?
Ew.
Why were you Googling me?
Why not? Just to, you know, have a bit of a stalk, see what's out there.
Okay, go on.
Some bad times and some good times. I found this video of you. Were you with a magician in studio at an old station?
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. That was when I was with another network. And we had the illusionist Louis Souchard. Spell that. Spell Souchard. Is it?
S-U?
Yeah.
C-H-A-R-D.
Yeah. Louis Souchard.
You know how he spells Louis? Guess. Just guess. People can't hear you shaking your head. Just guess.
I've forgotten, has it?
It's L-I-O-R.
Yeah, Lior.
That's so strange.
Lior.
So you got the name wrong. Yeah. Memorable experience.
Yeah,
go on.
Lior.
Mm-hmm.
Lior Souchard. Amazing. Let me tell you about, where can people see this? How can people see
it? It's on YouTube. You just Google it.
What do you type in?
Luke Boner and Lior Souchard.
L-I-O-R.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Luke Boner. This was, now, Jess, you would freak out.
Oh, go on, put the kettle on. Tell us a yarn.
This sort of thing,
Uncle Lukey.
This sort of thing would freak you out, okay?
Yeah, go on.
Because it freaked the out of me.
Really?
Because I like to see and touch and I believe in what I see in front of me.
Physically, yeah.
I'm not making any of this up because you can watch it for yourself. So, you know where you sit out there on the other side of the glass?
Mm.
I'm standing next to him. This is before we came on air. And he said, I want you to think, Luke, he's from Israel. He's from Israel. He actually was the protege of Uri Geller, who was one of the world's greatest illusionists. He was the guy that was famous for bending the spoon.
Right, okay.
Anyway, they had a worldwide competition to find Uri Geller's successor, and this guy won. Okay? And he's from Israel. He said to me, I want you to think of your first kiss, your first romantic kiss. Don't tell me. Why am I doing the accent? I'm not even doing it well.
It's terrible.
But he said, don't tell me, but just hold it in your head.
Yeah.
He said, I want you to go into your studio. So he's over there where you are. I've come in here. And he said, I want you to write it down on a piece of paper and fold it over four times. The name of the girl you kissed, your first kiss. And I did. And he said, we'll come to that later. Anyway, I've opened the program, I've gone on air, and he's come in. And he told us a bit about himself and how he was going to be playing around the country. And he said, I want to show you something. He said, I asked you before the program to think of your first kiss and write it on a piece of paper. And where did you put that piece of paper? I said, it's in my wallet. He said, okay, take it out. He said, and he's sitting over opposite me where you are now.
Mm.
But he can't see the piece of paper. He said, don't open it. He said, I'm thinking. Because he claims to be a mind reader.
Mm.
I'm thinking. It's a short name. First letter is K. I am freaking out. He said, very short name. Her name is Kim. I opened the piece of paper. It was Kim.
Wow. How?
There's got to be a trick. There has got to be a trick. But that was how we started, and it's all on that video.
Yes, I'll share it to our Facebook page.
But then at the very end, there's a number of really weird things happened during that interview. Like, it's really amazing.
Wow.
If you watch it. But because the reason I invited him into the studio, because I wanted to prove him wrong.
You thought you were one of those
skeptics, like James Randi. He was one of the big skeptics. And Don Lane threw a glass of water on him. That's on video too. But anyway, so I had a pair of glasses just like these. and they're on the table right there in front of me. And he came round. It's on the video. And he said, what did I have to do? I had to rub.
Rub?
I had to do this over the top of my hands, I think.
Do what?
Go. The glasses are on the desk, and over the top of them, I had to wave my hands back.
Okay.
And he came over, and he was nowhere near the glasses. He made them flip.
What? It's the work of the devil. Satan.
Leor.
Lucifer.
Suchard.
Mm-mm. That doesn't sound good.
Anyway.
Did you feel eerie? Did you feel weird?
Oh, completely discombobulated.
Yeah, right.
Really, really. I could not explain it. It has to be a trick. Yeah, I know.
Evil spirits.
No, it has to be a trick.
How can you make glasses flip from the other side of the room?
No, it wasn't the other side of the room. He was about 6 or 7 inches above it.
Yeah, how?
How did he get Kim?
Yeah, how did he know the name?
That Leor. Leor.
He needs Jesus.
Have you ever seen anything amazing like that? There has to be a trick. Can you tell me how Leor did that? Can someone out there, there's skeptics out there, they're up at this time of the night because looking at the flat earth. Did you know that flat earthers are around the globe everywhere? That's a joke.
Funny you should say that. I actually posted something on Instagram tonight about flat earthers. Are you reading my mind?
See, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. Good day, Wayne.
Good day, mate. How are you?
Very good. Welcome aboard. Where are you?
I just about come on the Princess Highway going out to Botany, mate.
Okay, where'd you come from? There's a question.
Brisbane.
Okay.
Bit of a drive, but that's what we do.
I'm glad we could keep you company for some of the way.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, for sure. Hey, listen, before I get onto what I rang up about, that last bloke that just rang, my father was an alcoholic and wrapped himself around a tree. Let me tell you, he never done it again. He survived it, but he never done it again. But what really irked me was he goes, oh, I've only done it 5 times, I'm 53. I'm 51 and I've never drunk drive in my life. So it was like a justification. Well, I'm 53, I'm allowed to do it a few times, but it's like, yeah, nah. But that's not what I'm rang for anyhow.
It was interesting, but I don't want to judge. I did ask him the question, what made him do it the fifth time? I mean, you would have thought after 4 convictions, 4 hefty fines, the real possibility of going to jail. I just wanted to know what the thought process was. What made you sit behind the wheel of that car and think, I'll have another crack?
Yeah, I mean, he used the excuse of he's looking at chasing down his girlfriend, partner, or whatever at the time. Still no excuse for drinking. I'm not judgmental either, but yeah, that just irked me when he said that. That the way he said it was, oh, 5 times and I'm 53. Well, I'm 51 and I've never been caught. Well, not I've ever been caught. I've never drunk drive. The most I have is 2 beers if I'm going to drive. And
yeah.
That's over a period of about 6 hours.
Well, I've never deliberately done it. I got caught the morning after feeling fine and after having 8 hours sleep. If I thought for one moment that I was over the limit, I would have called a cab to work. No question. I thought I was fine.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. It was an accident. It happens.
I'd had 8 hours sleep. I remember exactly the time I went to bed because Forrest Gump had just started and I was watching it because we have TV in the room. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyhow, the reason I rang for was one reason when I was thinking about it, but tell Jess a couple of tips for her when she gets the license.
Yeah, hang on. I'll put her on. Okay.
Oh, good on
you. I mean, talking to me isn't no good. You've got to talk. If you're going to, there's an old saying.
Yeah,
there's an old saying, don't talk to the chopping block if you can talk to the butcher.
And here I am.
2 little hints for you, love.
Go on.
Give us your number plate in your car so we can give you a wide berth in the truck. And secondly,
hang on, let me absorb that. That was very good.
You got that? Now, in summertime, don't wear short skirts. Because dirty old truck drivers like me, we look out our windows down into the oncoming cars.
I have noticed that.
That will only encourage her now.
No, excuse me.
Well, I reckon
take that back.
I've seen photos of you.
And why are you looking?
I've seen photos. You put them on Facebook. I've seen photos of you out with the girls. And it's quite skimpy.
Am I not allowed to wear what I choose to wear? Do I tell you what to wear? Am I not allowed to express myself in my clothes?
You actually do tell me what to wear.
No, I don't.
You're a little bit of a warning, Jess. That's all I was doing.
Fair enough.
Why are you looking? Why are you looking?
Just because I'm on a diet doesn't mean I can't look at the menu.
Well, thanks for the warning, but...
As long as I eat at home and don't get takeaway.
Yeah, just keep the pervy eyes away. You can have a, you know, if you see it, you see it. But you don't have to stare.
Oh, we don't stare because we can't keep up with you. It's 100K, you still 110. We can only do 70 off from the lights or something.
Well, whatever.
I mean, we just can't keep up with you.
If we choose to wear short skirts, we will wear short skirts. Thank you very much.
I'm not saying you don't have to. I'm just saying be prepared. When you go past the truck, you may be looking down.
I am prepared. Bring it on.
Righto. Just give us your number plate in your car so we know who you are.
I won't be doing that.
Any more advice, Wayne?
No, that's about it, mate. At the moment. I can think of anything else when you get the license, then I'll let you know.
How far away are we?
I drove on a highway the other night in rain, in the pitch darkness. First time on a highway.
I hope you had your lights on.
Oh, who is this guy?
It's Wayne.
You said pitch darkness.
Well, pitch black, yes. As in it wasn't nightfall. The night had fallen. Very dark.
Okay.
What has this guy got against me?
No, he's...
Nothing, Jess. Nothing.
Yeah, righto.
It's been a very long day, Jess.
I can tell he's very fond of you. Wayne, it's amazing what you truckies get to see from up there.
Oh, mate, I've seen some wonderful stuff from up here.
Okay, take us through it.
It'd be 3 or 4 years ago, coming down the freeway just before sunup. How would I explain this? Male driver.
Say again. Male driver, yeah.
Female drop passenger.
Yeah.
And her head was in his lap.
Does that happen often?
Not as often as what it used to, because now police officers drive down the freeway on motorbikes and look at the cars now. But yeah, females helping themselves. Yeah.
You know, if more police officers were in trucks, I reckon they'd make a lot more arrests or fines vis-a-vis mobile phone use.
You'd catch so many people on their phones.
I get annoyed on Pennant Hills Road around about school times, going home. Well, I used to. I don't go out that time anymore. But around that time of the afternoon, and you'd see them sitting at the traffic lights, or you'd see them pick up their phone. As soon as the lights went red, they'd be on their phone, grabbing them, and still rolling up to the lights. So I used to get up next to them and hit the air horns and then scream at them and tell them to put their phones down.
You actually do that. Gee, I've been tempted to do it. And you can tell, even though the car I'm in now, I've got another little car now, I've got Nikki's car, and it's a little Corolla because it costs nothing to run. And so it's low to the ground. But you can tell when someone's on the phone because the head is going up and down.
Yeah, I've noticed it myself.
They look ahead.
As soon as they stop at the lights.
They're up and then up and down. Well, they're on their phones.
Of course.
You can watch them driving too while you're driving. You can watch them through their mirrors. That's what we do. And you can see their heads and their head movements in the wrong direction to be going up the highway.
I don't know how people don't find it so distracting. And I understand it becomes second nature to drive, but I, at the moment, cannot even drive with the radio on, nothing. I need dead silence.
Good, good, good.
I can't see that changing. I mean, as soon as you take a phone call, even if it's on Bluetooth, if you're eating, if you're drinking from a cup, that diverts your attention. You're no longer giving 100% because you're doing something else simultaneously.
Yeah, but see, you're a new driver.
I understand that, but come on.
As you get more and more experience, trust me, you're going to put your
music. I believe you, but do you not agree? You can't be giving 100% on the road because you are giving attention elsewhere.
Totally
as soon
agree.
As you answer a phone call.
Totally agree. Totally
and that's
agree.
Legal.
Totally agree. And you're in an automatic that has mirrors and sensors and all that. God.
I wouldn't risk it. I'm telling you now.
Well, my dad would have called you a cheater.
Oh, get away. What do you want from me?
I want you to learn in the manual.
Like, go away.
Like every Australian chick does.
Oh, shut up.
This is the Night Shift. The Night Shift on the Triple M Network.
We are here for Truckline, for quality truck and trailer parts anywhere in Australia. 133353 is the telephone number. You can get us on social media, Facebook, The Night Shift on Triple M. You can tweet us at MMM Night Shift and email nightshift@triplem.com.au. Jess loves social media. Give us something to do, for Christ's sake.
Go away, Luke.
Let's onion peel some of the news stories that you're waking up to today, Thursday, June 14. Hugh Fernane from Triple M News joins me. Now, listen, I've got someone on the phone. Her name's Nancy. Apparently, she's known to you.
Oh, my Nancy.
You're Nancy.
Hello, Nancy.
Yes, Nancy.
Hello, good morning, Luke. Good morning, Hubbles.
Yeah.
Hugh what?
She just called me Hubbles.
Hubbles.
Yeah, that's what I get.
Sorry.
Apparently, Nancy's a big fan of the program.
She is. She's a huge fan, and she always messages me afterwards singing The Scaffolds. And do we know who The Scaffolds are?
Go on,
Nancy. I love The Scaffolds.
Okay, Nancy, I'll let you finish the program today. Off you go. It's Thursday.
Thank you.
See you, babe.
Yeah. Bye.
You going to do it?
Today's Thursday. Today's Thursday. Thursday is shepherd's pie. Wednesday is roast the beef. Tuesday's soup. Monday is washing day.
Is everybody happy?
You bet your life we are.
So you're going to do it louder.
Triple M.